Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. We have interviewed just about every Lansing City Council person over the last couple of years, multiple times, and one who was always candid joins us, and that is Eric Hewitt. Hello, Eric. How are you?
Good afternoon, Jack. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Well, summer doesn't necessarily mean slow times for council, and it seems like there's always something on the back burner. What can we look forward to tonight?
Well, tonight we have a pretty full roster, but there are two items that kind of stick out that I'm sure the listeners would be interested in. The first of which is the beginnings of Lansing's approval, or the City of Lansing's approval, to consolidate the 911 dispatch service with the county. It's going to be a long process. It's not something that's going to happen overnight, but we are starting the process, and hopefully we'll have it done pretty quickly.
And the advantages to that would be?
The advantages of that will be that you won't have Lansing and East Lansing with separate dispatch centers. It'll all be in one location. The positive thing about the agreement that we're working right now is that it will give an opportunity for the current dispatchers that work for the City of Lansing to become county employees, maintaining their benefits and continuing their employment, as compared to the county just putting out a request for employees to fill those positions. It gives our folks first right to refuse the opportunity.
In terms of efficiency and cost savings, do you see this as a plus?
I see this as a big plus. Not only will we not have to support two separate facilities, we'll have just one. It will hopefully cut down on some of the confusion between, you know, dispatchers making sure that we have people going to the same place. But I don't think that the public will see any real difference from a service perspective, but from hopefully a cost perspective, we'll be able to reduce those costs by combining the services.
And how much money could be saved?
That's a good question. I haven't heard a true number yet, but I'm sure that by the time we get to the end of it, we'll be able to say, you know, hopefully, a considerable amount for the taxpayers in the county.
Whenever you talk about increased efficiency and reduced costs, that's a pretty powerful tag team. What's the primary objection against this?
I don't think anybody at the municipal level has had any concern about this at this point in time. I'm not sure if any of the constituents have said that they had a concern about it. So, personally, I haven't heard anything. No one has said they don't like this. Everybody's saying that this is a good deal and the appropriate thing to do.
All right, you said there were two significant issues tonight. Fill us in on the second, if you would.
The second is the beginning process of converting property that is currently owned by the city into a new zoning, so we can go ahead and have Neogen be able to acquire the property to expand their product base, so they can expand their production.
How much property are we talking about, and where is this located?
This is property that's at 717 East Shiawassee Street.
Okay.
So it's over near Oak Park.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a very large property. It's a building, and I think it's under 2 acres. It's probably about an acre total with the building and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a very large parcel, but it does. It is pretty much adjacent to current property that Neogen is using that will allow them to expand their production capabilities.
What else would this property be used for?
Well, at this point in time, with the city consolidating a lot of its services for maintenance purposes, this facility at this point in time is about ready to become obsolete.
All right, and Neogen would be willing to acquire this at what cost?
That's a good question. At this point, we're just changing the zoning so we can go ahead and continue the talks with Neogen. I'm sure that the sell agreement will be coming right behind this, and we'll keep you informed when that happens.
How much of a discussion has to take place before rezoning can occur? Do you have to have a usage in mind, or you just say, hey, this isn't going to be useful for what we had envisioned previously? Let's get it ready to go, whoever takes it.
That's an excellent question. Generally, a rezoning or an alternative use request comes from the person that wants to use the property. In this case, the city is aware of the fact that Neogen is interested in using the property, so we need to go ahead and rezone it. So when they do buy it or make the offer and we accept it, hopefully, that they can go ahead and immediately start preparing the property for their production facility.
Okay.
In other circumstances, and this goes back onto the agenda again really quickly, we have a couple of churches that are coming into the city and asking for what's known as a special land use to use property that's either vacant in one case or a pre-existing building to use as a church. So there again, church comes to the city saying that we would like to have a church here, and they ask for permission to have it a special land use or to use it in a way that may not always be the way it was originally zoned. But generally, they always have a church when they want to use a property, always has to come in and ask for a special land use.
These developments and the issues tonight, are they the kind that you would expect would have a long public debate, public commentary, and to get heated as the way some council meetings have?
No, a lot of this is very routine.
Procedural.
And very procedural. Mm-hmm. I don't see a whole lot of discussion and or heated debate over any of these particular activities.
That doesn't mean individuals wouldn't be allowed to come and make their case and say what they want to say, as they always do at city council meetings.
That's correct. They get their 3 minutes. They get to say, give us their opinion, and we'll take that into consideration as we're making our decisions.
Eric, Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero, now going to be involved in the general election, not just the primary, and maybe a month ago we would not have thought that. What additional responsibilities does that mean for Council President Aylin Robinson and for the way that council would function with the mayor who's going to be gone so much?
Well, he's been gone quite a bit up to this point, and
right.
I don't think there's going to be much of a change. The mayor has indicated he has put a good team together that keeps the city moving on a day-to-day basis, and the council agenda as it sits today shows that the city's business is being done whether the mayor's in town or not.
Some people would say, then, why does Lansing need a mayor?
And that's a good question. There are many communities that don't have a formal CEO, if you want to call it that. The mayor, such as in East Lansing, is a member of council, so to speak, and mm-hmm. there is a city administrator that does a lot of the day-to-day administrative work.
When there is an issue, and when the mayor has a strong viewpoint about the way something would happen, how does he let that be known, and who is doing his bidding with council?
Well, as normal, generally we all hear about it first in the press when he really has an issue he's super concerned about, and we hear how passionate he is, according to him, as he has been dubbed the angriest mayor in America. But generally it'll come through his administrative staff, through the department heads to the council, and then parsed out to the appropriate committee for us to review and then bring back for consideration by the whole council.
Lansing City Councilman Eric Hewitt, our guest on Ebling and You. Eric, can I ask your age?
Oh, I'm 43.
Okay. I'm sure that you followed the story recently from Kiplinger.com, Lansing being named one of the top 10 cities in the nation and the only city of its size selected as the 10 best for young adults. Your reaction when you saw that?
Oh, I was absolutely thrilled. I know that we as a group and as a community have been doing everything we possibly can to make our community accessible and a place that everybody will want to be, whether you are a young professional, a empty nester, or someone who is a senior who's retired. You will be able to enjoy the city, feel like it's your home, and this just simply says that our efforts to reach out to everybody, regardless of their age, are welcome and have opportunities to enjoy the city itself.
The day that this news was released, I got two phone calls, one from the Grand Rapids area and one from Ann Arbor, saying, "You must be kidding. Who did you bribe? Lansing is not the number one city in the state of Michigan, much less one of the top 10 cities in the country for young adults." How would you answer those critics?
I would say that what you're seeing is a direct result of what the young professionals in our community are doing to attract other young professionals here,
right.
Whether it's Accelerate Lansing,
right.
Or it is the young professionals who are involved with a lot of the other groups, such as LEAP, And even the connection that Lansing is developing with East Lansing and the University of or Michigan State University mm-hmm. to make sure that everybody knows what's available and makes everybody feel comfortable and welcome. And I think that speaks volumes to the efforts of the young folks, the young professionals who have been working their tails off to make sure that this is a place that other young professionals are going to want to come.
We had the writer of that story from Kiplinger on the show last week, and when you look at the unemployment rate in Lansing being 3 points under the Michigan average, and you look at the cost of living here, and as you mentioned, all of the opportunities and the networking that's gone on from Grand River Connection, as you mentioned, and other groups, it's easy to see why the numbers might point in that direction.
Oh, I agree. I think it's a concerted effort. I don't think that there's any one thing you can point to. And, you know, kudos goes out to, you know, every organization, whether it's at the county level, at the municipal levels, between the different municipalities that are working on this, down to the individuals who are really making an effort to make Lansing a place to be.
Eric Hewitt, Lansing City Councilman, our guest on Ebling and You. Eric, have fun at council tonight.
I will. Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back with more. We're going to talk with Cheryl Fritz, former area broadcaster, and she's been very involved with the Pass It Forward group, and she has a heartwarming story to tell from Saturday's event at Perspectives 2. We'll be right back with that and more after this check of weather and sports.